So this week we're continuing our look at Deuteronomy 30, which is the part of Moses' final message to the Israelites as they were about to go into the promised land. As we look at the connections that we see within that chapter of Deuteronomy 30 and Shavuot, which is coming in just a few weeks as we count the Omer. Now, we look to see what the connections are between chapter 30 of Deuteronomy and Shavuot. And you know, I would say one of the major connections is the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 30 were looking to get into that promised land, the land they were promised. And in Shavuot, we look forward to the promise of Adonai, the promise of his presence, and the promise of our future time in his heavenly presence. So I think there is this connection that we can see. Now, last week, I pulled the message from Deuteronomy 30 in the first six chapters, and I spoke about choosing to do good based on his word, which is Torah, and all the scriptures, because when you do, Adonai will choose to do for you as well. Remember the connection with Shavuot and having faith, and specifically making the decision to have faith in Adonai. It is by our own free will that we are able to make the choice to have faith. And when we immerse ourselves in the waters during the mikveh, it's our free will to choose in order to show our faith to him. So I wonder, how many of you read Deuteronomy 30 trying to pick out what I might speak about today? Okay, maybe next week, maybe not. But I'm going to continue this week by reading Deuteronomy 30, 7 through 10, and look for connections to Shavuot there. So, starting in Deuteronomy 30, verse 7, I put Genesis on the screen. I don't know why. It's supposed to be Deuteronomy. So you're going to see that a lot, a mistake, I think. It's on the live screen, yeah, because of the way it imports in. So, Deuteronomy 30, verse 7, starting there. Adonai your God will put all these curses on your enemies and all those who hate you, who persecuted you. Then you will return and listen to the voice of Adonai and do all his mitzvot that I am commanding you today. Adonai your God will make you prosper in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your womb, in the offspring of your livestock, and the produce of your soil for good. For Adonai will again rejoice over you for good, as he rejoiced over your fathers. When you listen to the voice of Adonai your God, to keep his mitzvot and his statutes that are written in the scroll of the Torah, when you turn to Adonai, your God, with all your heart and with all your soul. Adonai's desire is to rejoice over you. At creation and during the time of the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve had that personal relationship with and was in the presence of Adonai. It was his desire to walk and talk with them in a way that allowed for a free flow of love and relationship back and forth between them. And now Adonai has been working towards repairing the relationship permanently ever since. And I don't want you to think that it's just so hard that it's taking him generations and centuries to get it done. It's not that he's not able to do in the twinkling of an eye, but he's being patient to include as many as possible in heaven and in his presence for all eternity. The sacrifices of animals was a temporary fix until a more perfect fix was in place by the blood of Messiah Yeshua. Does this mean that Adonai changed his mind about the sacrifice of animals? No, because it was never about the animals. It was about the blood. Therefore, we're still dependent upon the blood now as much as in the time of the tabernacle as it traveled about with the Israelites. But now it's the blood of Messiah Yeshua. It is Yeshua's more perfect blood sacrifice that we now depend upon. It is more perfect because Yeshua is the one who is still alive and is at that right hand of Adonai. Unlike the animals who are burnt up or eaten, his body never saw decay. So the next step which Adonai will take is to make it so that we will be in his presence just as Adam and Eve were, only for a much longer time. For each of us who accepts Yeshua as Messiah when we're in heaven, it's going to be the equivalent to Adam being in the Garden of Eden in his presence forever. And that was before their sin. Adonai had a feeling of joy in his relationship with Adam and Eve, as we see in the beginning of Genesis, that perhaps we do not see anywhere else in Scripture. That probably is because there is no place in Scripture that anyone had the same relationship with Adonai that Adam and Eve had before it was broken. Adonai wanted to be in a joyful relationship, and we see that he was in that relationship with them when we look at Genesis 3. Genesis 3, starting in verse 8, says, "And they heard the sound of Adonai." This is after they've already bitten into the forbidden fruit. "They heard the sound of Adonai Elohim going to and fro in the garden in the wind of the day. So the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Adonai Elohim in the midst of the tree of the garden. Then Adonai Elohim called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?'" Maybe he didn't say it that way. "Where are you? Where are you?" But he knew where they were. Adonai came to the garden to be with them, as in previous visits. He found great joy being with them before. They were very good, and his relationship was also very good. We can see this was true in the creation story in Genesis 1, which finishes with this, Genesis 1:31. "So God saw everything he made, and behold, it was very good. So there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day." Everything that Adonai made was very good in his eyes. This includes, of course, man and his relationship with them. He didn't say that it was satisfactory. He didn't even say that it was good. He said it was very good. Think about when you speak about your child or a young one, and you say they're very good. What you're really saying is you get joy out of what they did, what was very good about them. Or if you go to a restaurant and the waiter asks, "How was it?" and you say, "It was very good," that means you received some kind of joy out of eating the food. If you said, "It was okay, it was satisfactory," it doesn't sound like there's a whole lot of joy there. But when you say it's very good, that means there was some joy eating that food. Well, Adonai said it was very good. He found joy in all he created, which included Adam and Eve and the relationship that he had with them. So when Adonai came to be with them, the Tree of Life version says it was in the wind of the day. Now, of course, most of the other scripture versions say it was the cool of the day. He came to them in the pleasant part of the day. And Adonai was looking forward to having a very good visit with them, as he had in the past. Adonai didn't come to Adam and Eve to tell them what work needed to be done in the garden. He didn't come to lord over them his position. He didn't come to brag to them about who he was, but just to be with them, to enjoy their company and for them to enjoy his company. Adonai wants us to have that relationship with him now and throughout eternity. He wants it to be a relationship that will bring joy on both sides. As part of the relationship that Adonai wants to have with you, he wants to protect you. He says that he will curse your enemies, meaning that your enemies will no longer persecute you or harm you. The largest and I think only real enemy that you have is Satan. If you think someone else is an enemy of yours, it's not really the person, it's the person who's who's manipulating them to act against you. It's that satanic spirit upon them. It's not really them. It's hard to believe sometimes when you're before someone, but it's not them. Adonai is the only thing between you and Satan, so that Satan's plan for you does not prosper. We know he wants to kill, steal, and destroy. Not only you, but your relationship with Adonai. Adonai is all you need when it comes to protection from Satan and his demonic minions. Now, of course, for those who are here know that I'm not able to get to the Torah for Today discussions. I hope to in the next few weeks, I hope to be able to return. But I heard you had a discussion last Shabbat about the source of sin and whether Satan is the real reason for all sin or not. And there are many who want to blame Satan for sin. And I can see the why. It's really so much easier to blame it on him rather than blame ourselves. There's something that I read this week in Scripture, and I actually had it as part of this message already anyway, that really addresses this, and something we should keep in mind, and that's from Luke 22. Look what Yeshua says to Peter and the disciples about Satan's desire for them. Luke 22:31, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has demanded to sift you all like wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith will not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. His desire is to keep all of us safe. But look what Yeshua said. He prayed that his faith would not fail. Didn't pray that Satan wouldn't attack him. Didn't say that he would destroy Satan. But that his faith would be strengthened so that Peter does not fall victim to Satan. His protection comes by our faith in him. When we ask for the Ruach to be a wall of fire about us, or for a wall of fire about our family and our children, then perhaps what we're really asking is that our faith, and maybe the faith of those we pray for, will not fail. When we have faith, we stay with him always. This is what the psalmist said in Psalm 91. Psalm 91:4, it says this: he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is body armor and shield. Faith is staying under his wing and not running out from under the protection that he offers us. It is because of his faithfulness that we are assured that we are protected, as if wearing body armor and holding that shield. Remember, as part of the Amidah prayers, the Avot, we say, O King, Helper, Savior, and Shield, blessed are you, O Lord, Shield of Abraham. When we follow after him, following his words and his instructions, staying in faith, we then have the right to call him our King, Helper, Savior, and Shield. He is our protection, and there is no protection like him. He is the shield of Abraham, and we, as part of the people grafted into him who is the vine, are able to say that he is our shield of Abraham. Each Shabbat we say that this is who Adonai is to us and for us. But as Deuteronomy 30 reminds us, we can only say it in truth when we are following his instructions. We who have been astray, lost in the world at one time, we don't lose our ability to reclaim his love for us. Instead, we are able to show our dependence on his blood to bring us back to him. We should find great comfort in the fact that we are never too dirty from sin for the blood to cleanse us from our sins. What we can be too stubborn, we can be too stiff-necked, we can even be too self-reliant, and we can be too proud. It is when we release these things that we come back into alignment with him, allowing him to do what we cannot do on our own. That he becomes the shield that we can depend upon, just as Abraham was promised and was able to do in Genesis 15. So Genesis 15:1 says, after these things, the word of Adonai came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not fear, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. Adonai says that he is the very great reward for the faith that Abraham had towards him. This is the same reward that we also strive for in this life and with our faith. Abraham was causing Adonai to rejoice over him with the faith that he had in him. I would hope that this is the same thing that we all want, that Adonai would rejoice over us because of our faith in him. I hope that this is the thing that drives us and our actions each and every day. In fact, when we look at the last of today's verses in Deuteronomy 30, we get a very easy three-step approach to what to do to have Adonai rejoice over us. So let's read that again. I'm going to actually go back to Deuteronomy 30, verse 9b. And it says, "For Adonai will again rejoice over you for good, as he rejoiced over your fathers, when you listen to the voice of Adonai your God, to keep his mitzvot and his statutes that are written in the scroll of the Torah, when you turn to Adonai your God with all your heart and with all your soul." We read that for Adonai to rejoice over us for our good and for his pleasure, first, we have to listen to his voice. Second, keep his mitzvot. And then third, turn to Adonai with all your heart and with all your soul. Now, I got to say, those sound like three easy steps to me. But as flesh, we stumble over them all the time. Every day. If you don't, please come and teach me how. Listening to his voice as we hear it in the Torah and all the writings and keeping his instructions with them should be easy, but we know it's not. The instructions are there, written down, even so that when we're in doubt, we can go back to them and read them to see what we should be doing. We can even ask someone who's mature in the word. And we should be able to do what we should be doing, what we should do. Never mind what we're doing, but what we should do. But it was never that easy for the flesh to put aside what it wants and give preference to the word. This is why we need to keep reading and rereading the word. Why we continue not to neglect the meeting together as some would have done. But we strive to run the race as best we can. Will any of us be perfect? Even with the help we can gather, the odds are against us. But we still strive to do the best we can. And we turn back to Adonai to be cleansed by the blood so that we can return and be in his presence now and for all eternity. Our desire has to be righteousness before a righteous God. When we are righteous, because he imparts his righteousness upon us, then we can take hold of the promise from 1 Peter 3, starting in verse 12. 1 Peter 3:12, "For the eyes of Adonai are on the righteous, and his ears open to their prayer. But the face of Adonai is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good?" We need to be a people who are eager to do good. Because, as I said last week, when we do good, he will do good towards us. We turn to his word to guide us to him. And then not only will we find the reason to rejoice, but Adonai will also rejoice over us. So just as last week, we'll end with the question, what does this have to do with Shavuot? We are calling on Adonai to be our shield again. The immersion into the water was never meant to be a bath to be washed of dirt. And it's not meant to be the salvation experience, meaning the first time you said that Yeshua is your personal Messiah. But it is the proclamation that you have accepted him to be your shield by accepting Yeshua as your Messiah. The immersion is not to be the first time that you proclaim that he's your Lord and Savior, but it's a public way for others to see that you've made it again, and for them to celebrate with you. This is why I think the combination of the mikveh and the picnic is such a great fit together. We go and we celebrate being together and by eating together. So far in Deuteronomy 30, we have that Shavuot is a time of making a free choice to make a public proclamation that Yeshua is your Messiah in a celebration that will bring rejoicing to you and to Adonai. And we'll continue next week in Deuteronomy 30 to see what we see about Shavuot there. So, Father, we thank you that you are the King of Kings and you have shown us things in your word. Ruach, we ask that you would continue to open our eyes in our private studies, in our times together here in the sanctuary, that you would open our eyes to the plans and things you have in store for us, the good things that you have in store for us. But Adonai, let us not be blind to the warnings of the curses that would come if we turned from you. I know none of us desire to turn from you, but we still need to hear that warning. But as much as we need to hear that warning, we also need to see and hear the goodness of your word and to know that you do rejoice over us as we rejoice over you. Father, we just thank you and praise you. And everyone said, amen and amen.